Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of that galaxy and our galaxy, this is Four Center Presents Other Center, a special edition of Life Ranked. And right up top, if you're watching live on the exclusive YouTube link, you saw a different intro. Don't worry, that's edited out. That's edited out when this was released to the public. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I saw a video that told me it was a show. And we have to do that show now, too, because I saw that label, it's so there. I just have to do it.
It's there.
And I'm Jennifer Landa. Hi.
Hello. We're all here to discuss a very special Life Ranked topic. This was made possible by all of you who support on Patreon. And this episode is being recorded live for an exclusive Patreon audience. For those listening later on a public release, you might hear me refer to such wonderful fans and friends that we have, like Mike Fink and John Webster and Natalie Franchini, Michael McCarcel, I call him Detective McCarcel, and Brian B.C. Tiller, and so many more checking in right here, right now. Dan is here from The Food in My Beard. Andrew Cunningham, who we had the pleasure of meeting. It's going to be a fun show here today. And the topic, I'll get it. I'll be done with my blur. We'll get into some business and we'll get into this wonderful topic is our favorite desserts. This, Joseph, is a big topic that needed to be done exclusively live for an audience.
Absolutely. When we needed to move over to do an other center for a little while, one of the very early things we did was comfort foods. And there was an explosion of response that was a sort of comfort food for what we're doing with the podcast. So when we had unlocked this and wanted a topic, they're like, what is something that a lot of people are going to be really excited about? Desserts just seemed like the thing that would get people excited. And out of the corner of my eye while I'm speaking, I can see the chat blowing up with dessert opinions. I can't even imagine the avalanche of tasty treat ideas we're going to get to see in the chat.
Yeah, yeah. And Jen, there's a question that I saw early on here. I'm trying to find where it might have been, or maybe I saw it in our Discord. I think it was Natalie had the question. I apologize if it wasn't, or Natalie, apologize if I don't remember it was you. But Jen, the question was, how are they going to qualify or categorize desserts? Is it just something sweet? Is it something after a meal? Jen, do you have any thoughts on what goes into calling it a dessert?
That is a great question. And I'm looking at my list and now I'm realizing I have six. So I've got to rethink some things because, yeah, is it by category? Is it by texture? I don't know. We're going to find out.
We can do our favorite creamy desserts later.
This is great.
My list is that long.
And already people are checking out. Our buddy Mark Knope is here. He has to go soon as he's watching and listening in another part of the world. But he already says tiramisu is his favorite dessert. Ilka's here, stopping by briefly as well. So happy to see such wonderful folks here checking in. JJ Hawkins here as well. And yeah, Annie Sander asked, does cake count? Yeah, I think cake could count, certain kind of cakes. And before we get into it, we got some housekeeping, of course. But we do want to, you know, Joseph, I don't know where you went. We always say, whether it's Rankin's Space Saga stuff or this stuff, this is really hard. I found some of these answers real easy because they were very specific. It was the general stuff that tripped me up.
Yeah, I had like two or three that was like, of course. And then there was a brutal showdown to get the other remaining spots. A couple of them were specific. It's also just, it's over a lifetime of, I used to really like that, but I don't really eat it now.
Right.
And I don't know. I think I did a poor job when it comes to defining desserts because I just went with anything sweet.
Yeah.
And realized, like, I don't actually always have that as a dessert. Sometimes that's a meal unto itself. Well, I would imagine the technical definition of a dessert is something that is after another meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even maybe that will inflame great debate. I don't know. I just went with these are things I often eat after another meal, but sometimes I just straight up eat them.
And it's interesting how life does change things. Jen, I'm curious to, when you get to your list, how many things have been changed by kids being in your life and how you're like something now that you didn't or anything like that. So.
Yes, exactly. Before they were indulgence, now they are a weekly necessity.
A weekly necessity, indeed. Well, before we get to that, we want to remind you, as always, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook on us. They got over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Just go to audibletrial.com/4Center. We always like to do a 4Center recommends. So, you know, I forgot to look one up about food, but maybe we'll find one at the end of the show. Just go to Audible, search a book that you might be wanting to listen to, give it a try by going to audibletrial.com/4Center. Even though this is an exclusive broadcast for our Patreon supporters, Joseph, that does beg the question. We do need an ask segment, and we got one here today.
Oh, yes, that's right. Since we are actually broadcasting on YouTube as we are recording, it'll be available as an audio podcast too. We're going to ask for your continued or perhaps new support on YouTube. There's been a lot of ups and downs as we deal with the strikes. And on Patreon, we had some bleeding. Then we asked for some help and people really stepped up. So we're going to do the same for YouTube. We have been dropping a little bit in YouTube. So if you aren't subscribed and you would like to subscribe, that would help us out a ton. Also, if you have friends who think that they would, maybe they're not the biggest Star Wars fans, but they really love dessert. Tell them to subscribe on YouTube. I think that would help us out a lot. You know, you have Star Wars friends, you have dessert friends. Those are the categories of friends. Period. Those two. That's it.
There you go. That's the category of friends. We're going to dive into this. We each have five. Maybe one or two others pop in here. We'll see, but we're going to get right to it. And the debate will begin already in chat. The wonderful John Webster says, give me good old classic chocolate cake. Then Ilka, who's met us. So I don't know if you, Joseph, really understood us, because it's just, I imagine you all be so grown up with your dessert choices. I don't know what about meeting me makes it think that I'm an adult when it comes to my choices, but we'll get to it. All right, we're going to dive in, working our way 5-1. I'm not being rude. I've got my list on my phone because, hey, this is where we are in the future. Jen, I think we absolutely need to begin with your number five.
My number five, move over rice pudding, which was the initial number five for me. It is a scone. And I see Natalie is talking about having a dessert for breakfast. This is a wonderful thing about a scone. You can have it for breakfast. You can have it after a meal. You can have it as a snack. It is wonderful. Now, there is a certain texture that I like in a scone. It's kind of got to have like the flaky, crumbly outside with like the doughy-ish kind of inside, which is not, I've been disappointed by some scones. The nice thing is that you can go kind of plain. You can have a fruit inside of it. You can have it with icing if you want to be decadent. It is just everywhere I go, I have to get a scone. Although I haven't gotten one in London yet, that's a dream.
This is a great choice to start out. I mean, just move over rice pudding is a great way to start anything. I think that's the way novels should start. It was the best times, it was the worst of times. Move over rice pudding. But scones, I think of scones as the less desserty treat. So I really like that you started.
Wow.
Yeah. Just because they aren't always they're definitely in the pastry family, but they're if you don't want to have a super like sugar filled apple stuffed pastry, you could be a little bit more responsible and get a scone with some berries. Yeah. I think that's a little bit more responsible. And I also relate deeply to the phrase disappointed by scones. the texture and the moisture, I think, are really, really hard to nail, because sometimes they're rocks. And then sometimes they're like a perfect, they're just absorbent enough to dip in something.
This is a great start. And by the way, already in live chat, people are debating our view of what desserts is. Even Dan at the Food of My Beard, who knows food. He writes books about food. He makes food. Scones, donuts. Is this breakfast rank? And I think that's a fair question. But dessert definitely opens up. Is it the tray the waiter brings out at the end of the meal at the restaurant? Is it something you get on the fly? And that's part of this. But Jen, this is a great choice because I despise scones. And
what?
Have always, anytime I said, and I said that in my own house recently, and Grace has got some vegan blueberry scones that she brought home. And I was like, I despise scones. And you have not had a good scone yet, or haven't had these scones. It's like, I don't like sushi. You haven't had good sushi yet. And I don't disagree with that. So Jen, can you sell me on this scone that you're thinking about?
It just gives you the right amount of sweetness to where you don't feel lethargic afterwards, which is what happens with some of the others on my list. I go into like this food coma state, right? Just a little bit of sweetness. And somebody mentioned, I think it was Natalie, jam and cream. You can build upon it. You can have it with ice cream. You can have it with fruit.
Okay.
It's just, I wouldn't say an empty vessel, but you can definitely.
It's a substrate. It's a canvas. I can take this rock and I can make it a dessert. I put up on the screen here, the food in my beer had the two-part comment, a very hit or miss, but when they hit, they hit.
Thank you.
I think supports what you're saying, Ken, of you just haven't had a good scone.
I just haven't. You know, Annie says it has to be crumbly yet dense. Those are two things that just, I don't know if they work together for me. But look, this is the thing. I will always try it. I will always try it. And for you to describe it as a utility infielder on a baseball team, you need them to play second, short, third, creams, jams. They can be part of a bigger dessert. I'm there for that. I'm there for that. We're off
stretching the boundaries of dessert in beautiful ways. Douglas Dubois says cheese scone with lashings of butter.
Okay.
Face.
I like lashings of butter.
Lashings of butter.
God, lashings. Lashings of butter is a great band name. Why didn't I think of that earlier? We are rolling along here. Joseph, we got to go to your number five.
My number five is like scones, but to me, they're the edgy, indulgent scone known as donuts. I'll get more specific. I'm sure that that you both might have donuts on your list. And this is the one that for me is like, sometimes I have donut as a dessert, but often donut is just breakfast or it's 4 p.m. in their house and it's donut time. I think a part of my love of donuts is the absolute variety. The fact that they're definitely like a treat that you will maybe give to a kid, but that they're also can be explored in, I was going to say explored in adult ways, but you know, they're you can make them fancy, you know? And then for me, I realize a lot of my list is also some of the cultural implications. And there is a, you know, a television show that happens in the Pacific Northwest that's got some donut stuff in it. That I already liked donuts. And then that was a even larger connection to this hero that I wanted to grow up to be like. Like, great. That's one part of myself I don't have to change. I can keep liking donuts a lot. Yeah. So I picked out two specifics. Because donuts is a mountain of a topic, right? I'm seeing people say, you know, chocolate glazed. That is definitely, you know, hey, just a traditional, like a denser, you know, cake donut, chocolate days, great glazed, great chocolate days. That's what I am right now. but if you want to have like the more adult kind of thing, I've had a lot of the various iterations of like a bacon maple donut or bar that's got, you know, it's just kind of a standard great donut dough, and then sort of some sort of maple frosting with just the way you would garnish a martini with a lemon twist, just a little garnish of bacon. I've also had ones that are covered with bacon and it's a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Those enjoy those as much. The other one is I love fruit in dessert. So I like lemon filled donuts or I believe this is regional. If I said to you both, I would like a lemon filled Bismarck, would you be like, oh, I know what you're talking about? Or would you be like, is that a car? What are you talking about? Is Bismarck? That's a regional term, right?
I think so. I would immediately think it's some sort of like side dish. I think I would put in the food, the lemon filled, but.
The lemon filled would give it away. But if I just told you like, oh, I'd love a Bismarck. You'd be like, you're a supervillain. You want the city? What?
Yeah.
But like there would be a thought that the lemon filled Bismarck would be some sort of fish. That'd be like, I just haven't heard of a Bismarck. Halibut, this, salmon.
If it was, a lemon encrusted Bismarck, that would definitely be like, well, where do you catch those? Yeah. No, I mean, it is just, it's just the stuffed, the injected.
Love that. So Jen, I want to ask you your thoughts on donuts because I'm going to cheat and speed us up in a bit. My number five is donuts as well.
Nice.
I go specific. Now, there's a great sports radio inside joke that goes that a lot of people know based around football coach Andy Reid of Kansas City, formerly Philly, where you look at Andy Reid and Andy Reid is the type of guy that walks in and sees the pink box of donuts and goes, ooh, don't mind if I do. That's me. That is me. And I'm a sucker for the pink box of donuts in a break room. I'm the guy that circles back 2 hours later to be like, well, all right. I'll finish these. So I love donuts. There's a great donut spot near me, but I went pretty specific. I went with donut gems from any gas station or 7-Eleven. I don't care if they're Hostess. I don't care if they're 7-Eleven donut gems. I don't care if they're 76 petrol donut gems. If you give me 8 little chocolate covered donuts or 6 or 9, I've seen 10 at one point. I'm grabbing them. I'm eating them. They're my breakfast on the go, not a breakfast of champions. I absolutely adore them and I'll eat them as Grace will tell you. And, also yell at me for my safety. I'll eat them in about 5 minutes. One after another.
I like the little ones, like the little sort of mini donuts in boxes.
I can't
remember the main brands in the Midwest, but there are those kind of foods of like this is almost a different food than a normal donut.
Yeah.
The way like a McDonald's cheeseburger is that's a different food than a normal cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But it's still enjoyable of itself. I like that they almost taste like the box. That's part of it.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
I think that they're heartier in some way. And you just unlocked a memory for me as a kid. When I was in middle school, my mom would give me money for lunch. And instead of buying lunch, I would buy two things. I would either buy an It's It, which was an ice cream sandwich, a big ice cream sandwich, or I would buy those gem donuts, powdered or chocolate. Yeah. And that was what I had for lunch for a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would argue that they're lunch and not as sweet as a typical donut that you might find at a donut shop.
Yeah. Look, I love it. There's a famous 24-hour donut spot near me that, Joseph, if you've never been, we got to hit it up one night. Mm. Or breakfast, lunch, dinner. But yeah, it's wonderful. So I love those, but there's something about the donut chimps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The Portlanders shouting out Voodoo Donuts, which is, yes, of course, great. And I've had a wonderful maple bacon donut there.
I'm going to try that there. Jen, overall thoughts, though, on donuts overall. You have a favorite. And I also want to submit one other favorite one. And, Joseph, if you've never tried it, I recommend it. The buttermilk glazed at Bob's Donuts at the Farmer's Market. Which is
I have been to Bob's Donuts. I had a lemon filled, not Bisner, just a lemon filled donut because they wouldn't have known what the hell I was talking about. But, ooh, I love that place.
Yeah, ask for the buttermilk glazed. But Jen, overall donut.
That sounds freaking delicious. I am a sucker for donuts. If they are out, I'm notorious for going and cutting a little piece, and then I circle back around after everyone's had it, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll just have the rest.
Yep.
Maybe I'll try another flavor. Can't help myself.
Yeah. I always play a little coy, right? I come by and I go, oh, hey, Joseph, you get in here. You have one. Hey, Jen, you get one here. And I grab one, and then I just kind of hide behind the counter and wait until you all kind of disperse. Don't touch the coconut ones. No coconut. Coconut is of the devil, but that's that. All right, so we're off and running. We got donuts. We got scones. We're working on to our list here, to our number four choice here. Joseph, we begin with you.
You know, this is one that maybe stretches dessert because it is also like kind of a snack thing, but it is honestly the thing that I go to for a little bit of dessert. It's a candy bar. But hey, maybe this is being a little bit more adult, like Ilka thought we might be. There's a brand of candy bars called Hammonds that I don't know where all people find them.
Mm-hmm.
I first encountered them at Descanso Gardens, which is great public gardens. Yeah. And they had them in their gift shop. And they were, all of their flavors feel like they're trying to be kind of like hip and fun and weird. Like they have birthday cake and they have one that's like flavored like s'mores. So I was like, okay, I'll taste this. But then they're actually like gourmet chocolate and gourmet ingredients. So they're like dorm food, mess around and find out flavors. But made with actual, like, incredibly good quality. Great design. The other place I found them is in, like, kind of old-school throwback candy stores. Like, there's a place near the coast called Rocket Fizz that you go in there and you can buy all your taffy and stuff like that. So it's Hammond's candy bar in two particular flavors. One, the pigs and tater.
Pigs and tater.
Pigs and tater. It is great chocolate with little tiny crumbs of, again, bacon and potato chips.
Wow.
So it's the salty and the sugary, and it crunches on your teeth in this satisfying way. Because normally when somebody's like, it's flavored like this, it's like, yeah, some little drop of extract. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear it. You feel it. you encounter those potato chips and that bacon.
Okay. This is at Descanso? Because I go over.
Sadly, they just redid their gift shop, so they don't carry them anymore. I think that's also what makes me feel like a kid, where, like, you know, when you were a kid and you'd like a specific candy bar, but it was only available wherever, you know, your aunt lives or whatever. I don't see them in general grocery stores. I see them special places. So that's part of it. Of like, I stock up on them when I see them because I don't know when I'll see them again. I know I can actually, you know, Google it and find out. But the other one is there was one time that Descanso didn't have pigs and taters. So I was like, I'll settle for trying Soda Pop. I'm not sure about a candy bar called Soda Pop, but it's got some sort of Pop Rocks thing in it that does actually explode. not the front of my mouth. Like it's like a wisdom explosion because it's back where your wisdom teeth either are or have been. And there's this like fireworks in the back of your head. It's weird and beautiful. and it makes me feel alive.
It's a party, wow. Party of my mouth, and everyone's invited. Jen, this sounds like something you're unfamiliar with like I am, but
yes.
There's a class to this that you, a classy lady who fights Nazis at punk shows, I could see you enjoying a Hammond afterwards.
It sounds like an experience unto itself.
Explode was maybe a little melodramatic. They sparkle.
I don't know how I feel about that, though. A Pop Rocks always kind of made me a little bit nervous. Like, oh, my dentist is going to be mad at me when I go. That just feels, but I'm curious. Definitely curious.
Well, we should redo this episode with samples so we can try them.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. And I thought we're recording this for both video and audio later, but I thought about, should we put pictures up? But then I just kind of ran out of production time. Dan comes back, but what's the over-under and how many Joseph's desserts would have bacon? I love that. And I've never had a bacon maple donut, which is crazy. You look at how I can barely fit into shirts and you think this guy's had a lot of bacon donuts in his day. I've never tried that. I'm dying. And they have them at that spot.
Good. Okay. You're so good. They sound like the kind of thing you'd like.
Yeah. Mm. I'm there for this. And the pig and tater sounds great too. This is a wonderful choice. Candy bars is high on my list emotionally, but not actually on this list. So your higher class version is welcome here. I'll go to my number four, and it's a general one. And it's just frozen yogurt overall, Froyo, as it's known. And I do like the self-serve ones that sprung up over society over the last decades. I think you can really learn a lot about a person. You talk about personal themes. You go there and see how people put together their frozen yogurt. And I'll tell you this, most people do it wrong, at least according to my high standards. But I have always loved, and we are all children of the 80s, and I think we all live through or have a some sort of relationship or remembrance of the frozen yogurt explosion of the mid-80s. And so my memories of as a child is go to my local baseball card shop. Then we walk to the yogurt shop in the village of Arroyo Grande where they had that Dragon Quest video game there, the first one that looked like a cartoon in action. New York seltzer and a frozen yogurt. And
seltzer.
Yeah. The amount of sugar coursing through my young veins would later on go on to cause problems for me. But I just have loved frozen yogurt since then. I do love ice cream. I don't have it as much anymore, especially after switching the house mostly over to vegan. And in fact, I don't have frozen yogurt much anymore. There's a great frozen yogurt place nearby that actually our friend Mike Fink and Chat recommended. And Grace and I went to. And our love of frozen yogurt can go on in a plant-based way for Grace and I. But frozen yogurt. Most flavors, I mix and match. Some days it's chocolatey. Some days it's fruity. The toppings change, and there's a strategy. You got to put a middle layer. You got to put a top layer. All those things, I just love it. So frozen yogurt.
So is this cup-based or cone-based for you?
Definitely cup. I need room to work. if you've ever seen me have a cone of anything, Well, Jen, you would recognize, Joseph goes, yep. Jen, you would recognize the face of a 4-year-old covered in the food that they're trying to eat. That is me with an ice cream cone even now. So, yeah, a cup and I go large. I mean, I've had like $12 frozen yogurts when they weigh it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not good.
They do it by the pound?
Yeah. You put it on that scale and then they tell you what you pay.
What are you putting on that weighs that much?
Cookies. Fruit, like, because you just got to put a whole strawberry in there, right?
Okay. So it's the yogurt is like a base for a buffet.
It's a conduit. It's a conduit to higher flavors and experiences.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The frozen yogurt of the 80s was very different than the frozen yogurt now. Because, like you said, sprung up and I used to go get just a cone. It was like a swirl, right? Mm-hmm. Very simple. My kids now, and this is partially my fault as a parent, is I let them load it up. Not the little one, but my eldest. She just turned around yesterday. It was piled high. She had gummy bears, gummy worms, a chocolate stick. I'm like, Calm down. It was so expensive. I'm like, what the heck? It's this giant mound. But she saves it and savors it over the course of several days. But still not great.
The best part about these self-serve spots is there's the yogurt, but then it's like you then make a right turn into a convenience store and just start dumping all the candy that you want on it. So
when you say it's self-serve, do you get to actually pump? Is it a pump?
Yeah. You go in there and then you got the sample monsters. I don't like these folks who go in there and they grab 9 sample cups and they just stand there sampling every yogurt back and forth, back and forth. I think you're working the system. All right. I don't like that. And then you get the people who can't decide. They're in your way. You know, there's some rules. And I admit I'm probably more the grumpy one in there, but I get in and out. But yes, you can mix and match. Do it unlimited. You want 6 flavors in there? You can make it happen. Your dreams are okay. A reality.
You can try to make a pigs and tater yogurt.
Yes, it's there. It's there.
Trey is saying I'm a permissive parent, and it's kind of true when it comes to ice cream. I am a frozen yogurt because I was not allowed to have candy or any sugary cereal. I was allowed to have like grape nuts as a kid, so I think I've gone now to this other extreme. But she had a good checkup at the dentist, so we're okay.
I love that.
Well, maybe Trey was talking about Ken's parenting of himself.
I love that. JJ Hawkins says peanut butter cups. That's my only topping. I just can't bring myself to anything else. I do love if it's a vanilla chocolate day, little peanut butter cups to balance that out. It's great. But that's my number 4. Now I want Froyo. Jen, what is your number 4?
My number 4 is a berry crumble dessert with a scoop of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a specific, again, texture. It all comes down to texture, right? For me, I like the gooiness and the warmth of the filling, which could be, usually it's not apple. It would be some like a blackberry something, raspberry, a berry mixture. And then on top is a nice crumble, whether it's like with oats or I don't know, anything to make it, you know, crumbly. And if you go to a fancy restaurant, they serve it in like a fancy little pot and they usually have it with like some whipped vanilla thing on the side. But if you go to like a mom and pop place, you're going to get a good vanilla bean ice cream, like just right on top. Yeah. Oh, so good. I also love like apple pie with crumbly on top. So it's kind of in the same vein.
With crumbly on top. I love that.
This is a great choice. I take back anything I said bad about the scone. I'm on board with you, Jen, here. And I like what you're talking about, the mom and pop. This is like, if you drive up to Tahoe and you take the 365 out of the Mojave Desert, there, you go through like Lone Pine and Big Pine, all these places that have those kind of restaurants that you pull over. 1 out of 5 has a Confederate flag on it, so maybe be careful. Don't go into those ones. But then it's always someone like Mabel in the back has got the crumble and ice cream for you. And I just, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah. And if I was a baker, I would make it. My mother-in-law has made it for me and it's just freaking fantastic when it's homemade. Oh my gosh. Gourmet, simple. You can't go wrong.
I love it when it's good, but I feel like I've encountered some versions of it where I feel that people think crumbles can hide their other sins.
Oh. Just,
you know,
yes.
The fruit's weird or off, or it's, you know, and they're just like, it's buried in crumbles. Who cares? And you're just like fighting through crumbles to get to the rest of it. Have you had that experience, Jen, or have you had just like great crumble luck in your life?
I have had good crumble luck. I can't think of any time I've had a bad experience. You know what? If it isn't like perfect, it's okay. Cause then I just slather the ice cream on and it just makes it all better.
Swirl it.
Right?
You're fine.
Yeah. I would never have it alone. It has to have some sort of vanilla component, whether it's the fancy, you know, what do they call the gastronomy type cooking, you know, that they do with bubbles or something, whatever. I don't care. Just give it on top of the crumble.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And Brian Tiller says, wow, I'm actually on the 395. I think I said 365, but the 395 and driving through those very towns. Yeah. Yeah. There's a great one. I'll text you, Brian. Be careful of who's in there. Jen, I'm on board with this. This is a great choice. And now we're on to your number 3 choice, Jen. Start us off there. Oh no, wait, I'm starting. That's a rotation. I can't run. I'm excited. All right. This is very specific. It's general and I want some general thoughts. But this is tremendously specific. I love donut. I love cherry Danishes. I love Danishes. Mm. Little apple, little boysenberry ones. 7-Eleven's got some great ones, all right? But I love cherry Danishes. And a few years ago, I was up in Carmel by the sea, up in Northern California, officiating my friends Josh and Amanda McCouga's wedding. And there's a wonderful, quaint little downtown with a lot of those like shops that sell artisan sweaters and things you wouldn't normally buy. But there was a coffee shop, morning kind of breakfast spot. And we got some coffee and I got a cherry Danish. And then we went into a park and then I sat in the park and I ate the cherry Danish to a point where Grace questioned if I loved the Danish more than I loved her. It was the best tasting, smoothest. The cherries were fresh. It wasn't just a, you know, gas station donut filling type of thing. And I still talk about it. I still dream about it. And now Josh and Amanda have moved up there. And it's where her family's from. And Josh keeps saying, dude, just come visit me. And we'll go get the cherry Danish. We'll go. I know right where it is. And so overall, my answer is cherry Danishes. But the specific Carmel by the Sea cherry Danish, I don't even remember the shop name, but I could find it on Google Maps because it was right near this park downtown. Go right to it.
I have several questions. cherry Danish is the flavor, but it is also the presentation. It can be so many different things, the way you can combine the pastry and the cherry. So paint a picture for us so we can all picture you eating this in a park lovingly, hauntingly. Was the cherry inside? Was it sort of a laced cover?
Nice, fluffy, light brown, warm pastry. Not a ton of drizzling of the white frosting, but enough to where it does feel, you know, and you know, it's crisscrossed, but not in a messy way. There's an artist that made this. And then right in the center was the cherry filling. And it didn't spill over. It was on my beard and shirt. And I only grabbed one napkin, but it melts perfectly. Each bite got all the flavors.
So it was nice and spread out. I love fruit filled things. And that's the trick is when the lemon filled Bismarck or any filled donut, you know, where you eat half the donut wondering where it is.
Right.
And then the one glob attacks your face and body because it explodes. Yeah.
No globs. It was wonderful.
So beautiful.
Whole cherries that you can bite into and you can kind of feel them exploding in your mouth, continuing the explosion.
Yep.
I really didn't think we were going to say explode up to seven times on a dessert episode. It's great.
But I had to say it because that's what I think of with those, with any, like a cherry specifically, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going back there right now. It was a cold day. It was a cold morning. Set in the park. And I made those sounds. Grace was like, could you stop? Anyway, that's my number three. Jen, what is your number three?
My number three is a cupcake, specifically a sprinkles cupcake. Now, I like most cupcakes, but the reason why I chose sprinkles is because on average, I find that their cupcakes are a home run. Other places, it can be really hit or miss, and you can have a bad cupcake. But with sprinkles, we've talked about comfort a lot, right? So I usually get my standby flavors, strawberry or chocolate, but sprinkles allows me to be and explore my adventurous side. So I might try a lemon. I tried a carrot one once. It was freaking delicious, and I don't even like carrot cake.
They have all sorts of
lime. I go wild. And the nice thing is that you can buy like a half a dozen and everyone's always so appreciative. So then you can share it with people and have as many little slices as you want. I mean, that's kind of my MO, but I love sprinkles.
I'm with you. Sprinkles is great. And I love cupcakes, but chocolatey based cupcakes can get, it's a bit much for me. It's too much.
It can be a bit much,
right? Mm-hmm. But a strawberry, a lemon, a lighter, a vanilla. And sprinkles has got this.
Jennifer, what do you feel is the sort of right amount of frosting?
I like it when there's a lot of frosting. That's the key. I don't want just a little piece of the cake, right? It's got to have that the texture of that icing, the gooiness, but not too gooey. I once had a chocolate cupcake in the park. It was a really hot day, and it was all, I felt like that 4-year-old kid with chocolate all over my face and hands. It was a little awkward.
We'll do best desserts specifically in a park now that we know we have so many examples of that.
I want that cherry Danish, and I want to make a song around the cherry Danish in Carmel. Blowing in my hair.
Carmel by the sea. Jen, what's your take on the controversial, and I don't have a negative opinion, but the controversial like toppers, the people who just take the muffin or cupcake tops and just eat that?
Oh, I think I saw a business recently that was just the muffin tops. Right. Obviously, we think of that show. You know, I do like a muffin top, but I like the doughiness of the base, right? I feel like you can't have one without the other to be able to enjoy it. So I like the whole thing.
I've
gone to a shop that's all only muffin tops.
Joseph read my mind with this great comment here.
Annie Sanders had a couple of great comments. I was about to put up her previous one, but then she beat it with this new one. Not getting out of bed for less than 1-to-1 cupcake to frosting.
That's it.
That's the science.
It's great when people know what they like, and the not getting out of bed from perfect. I'm going to use that phrase now from dessert. Like, is it like this? Then I'm not. Is there bacon in it? Then I'm not getting out of bed.
Bacon cupcakes. I feel like that'd be a Top Chef challenge, right? Yeah. Your challenge is dessert with savoriness.
Yeah.
Can you get 7 people out of bed?
What does Annie Sander think? She'd be our Gordon Ramsay-like judge. I do like Annie's other comment. Now that you've highlighted, the trick with filled donuts is to look for the hole where the filling was injected and start eating from that end. I'm going to need to do that. I have never really employed that strategy.
I have employed that strategy, but then I get disappointed that I ate the goo so early.
gotta savor the goo.
I want to savor the goo. That's not as good a song as the Danish and Carmel.
No, that's great. We're rolling along here. We're looking at our best desserts, but Joseph, we're up to your big number three choice.
My number three is a dessert that I definitely seek out and I like, but part of what I like about it is the childhood memory. And it's the dessert, maybe like the Danish in Carmel, that I'll always try to be recreating and will never quite be able to recreate because it's partially the childhood memory. So we didn't have a ton of sweets growing up. We would have like candy bars every once in a while, maybe a Dairy Queen every once in a while. But for my birthday one year, which is the year that the second film that we normally talk about in the series came out, and I'd been waiting and waiting, and it was my birthday, and we went to see that movie, and I had this specific dessert. I didn't even request it. I didn't even know I liked it, and it was lemon cake. I like cake. You can't go wrong with cake. A really good chocolate cake is really great. A really bad chocolate cake is cloying, and it's, hey, baking's an art. But I had this lemon cake, and I'm sure it was just like, you know, Betty Crocker sheet pan with like lemon flavored chemicals. But in my child's brain, it was the most special thing I've ever had. I don't know why my mom just never got it again. So it took on this absolutely legendary status. I think probably when I was like 7, I was like, am I going to get that lemon cake again? And I think she probably, you know, did one of those, like, they don't have it at the store or whatever anymore. So I was like, the secret has been lost to time. Lemon cake is impossible. It can't be made. To the point, my 30th birthday, I was having a big party, and you know, my mom was like, "Can I bring anything?" I was like, "Yeah, bring me that GD lemon cake you made me when I was a child." And then she ended up getting sick, and she's like, "I'm sorry, I couldn't bring the cake." I was like, "Damn it, I want the lemon cake."
So, legend lives on.
I love lemon. Half of this list could be bacon and fruits of different kinds, but lemon cake holds a really special place in my heart.
I love this. I love this. This is a legendary lemon cake. I love the lost to time, like it's a Gordon Lightfoot song. The legend lives on from the Chippewa down to the lake they call Gitche-Gumee.
That's no one remembers.
I love straight up lemon flavored things or whatever chemical is creating the lemon flavor in what I'm having. So I'm with you on it. There's just something. I don't know. I mean, I like a lemon in the water type of thing, but I don't have a lot of lemons outside of desserts. But I love a good lemon flavored thing.
I think it's because they chocolate weighs me down quickly, and the lemon, because it's light and lifting, it feels like I can eat more and keep a bounce in my step instead of like, also with like chocolate cake, I'm like, it's one bite from triumph to tragedy of like, this is so good. And then you take one more bite and like, what have I done to myself? It's not gradual. It's one bite when I cross the line and every bite is a danger. Where's the line?
So true. God, that's hilarious. It's just, I've one bridge too far. I've done this to myself.
One bite, too far. How do you feel about lemon cake, Jen?
Oh, I love lemon cake. I mean, especially homemade. My mother-in-law makes lemon bars, which are so bright, zest, right? Slightly tart. I love that. However, do not ever get a lemon loaf from Starbucks. I was expecting a certain quality of lemon that was lacking in their loaf. Their loaf was lacking.
I avoid loaf of any kind. I'm not a loaf person.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
Yeah. I've had some
I bet you if I made it.
Yeah.
Well, not me personally, but if somebody made it, it would taste delicious.
I should try to make a lemon cake someday.
You should.
Sorry, wrong one. I went to the food in my beard. So there's a moment when I was 5 years old and was playing Mario for the first time and eating cookies and had this exact same feeling. Never had the cookies again. Thank you, food in my beard. I can be very sentimental, so it's nice to know that I'm not alone.
This
makes me so happy to think of you pining for the Mario cookies. The cookies lost the dime.
But this is, I want Dan to have a Food in My Beard documentary series where he's searching his whole life for those cookies and what they were and now has to find them. That's amazing. We have a rolling along here. We've got two more choices left. We are looking at our favorite desserts. And if you're listening on the audio, we are going to take a quick break. If you happen to be watching on video, we're doing this live. So you're going to see us just catch our breath for about 10 seconds. Stick around for more Life Ranked.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Life Ranked. I'm Ken Napsok. That's Joseph Scrimshaw. That's Jennifer Landa. We're in the virtual studio. We're hanging out talking about our favorite desserts and also maybe for some people creating controversial definitions of what a dessert actually is. Is it after a meal? Is it something you can get at a gas station? What is it? We have some wonderful folks checking in from our Patreon who are watching live now exclusively. They made this episode possible. If you want to support, you can go to patreon.com/4center. We are up to our number two choices. This is our favorite desserts here. Where are we at? Jen, I think you're leading us off with your big number two choice for favorite dessert.
My number two choice is the Snickers cheesecake from the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, God, yeah.
You guys, I cannot go to the Cheesecake Factory without ordering this dessert. And there was a period of time, a few months, maybe 6 months, when I went and it was off the menu. And you should have seen, like, I caught not a panic attack, but my anxiety went really high because that is a comfort thing for me, my routine. And I was like, I'm sorry to the server. I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't have the Snickers. I was describing it. And they're like, we have this black and white cheesecake. I said, no, it's not. No, it has to have Snickers. Like, I felt, it was a really stressful moment. I ordered some like turtle dessert chocolate thing. It was not the same.
No.
However, they brought it back. And I have to describe it. So it's their original cheesecake swirled with Snickers on a brownie crust with chocolate, caramel, and peanuts topped with Snickers bars and whipped cream. This is my dessert. I eat it by myself, no matter if people are like, oh, I'll have a little bite. My husband's like, are you going to save some for me? No.
No.
This is my
the hell you will.
No.
That's me living. It's eating my Snickers chocolate cake.
Do you know, I do not remember the details. I only know it from a guy telling a story about it. This delicacy that's like a bird within a bird that it's so private that there's a curtain that you pull around when you eat it as part of the dining experience. This is what it's reminding me of. Like if the Cheesecake Factory had like, this is such me time. So me alone with the Snickers cheesecake, I need to be shown to the curtained off booth so I'm entirely alone.
That's what they should offer. One table seating.
Right. I mean, I build my whole, what I order, my meal around the fact that I'm going to eat this cheesecake. So that time when they didn't have it, I was like, well, if I had known that, I would have ordered, you know, a turkey burger or something. Right. But instead I was getting like this ahi tuna thing, which was fine.
It was fine.
It was good.
They got a nice shrimp BLT there at the Cheesecake Factory. I want to get your thoughts on cheesecake, Joseph. And I'll say this, probably not the last time we're discussing cheesecake on this show. One of the greatest days, I almost said the greatest day of my life, but I'll out of respect to some people in my life, I'll say one of the greatest days. When I was the security director of the farmer's market, 3rd and Fairfax, next door at the Grove, is the Cheesecake Factory. One day I found one of the like little beepers for when you're waiting for your table, and it was just in the parking lot somewhere, and I had it and I put it back in my office thinking I'll just run it over there. And one of my officers comes in and goes, hey, you're going to return that? And I was like, yeah, I'll get there eventually. He's like, well, you know what happens if you return that, right? I was like, no. And he goes, they give you a free slice of cheesecake. I got up, grabbed it, and went, you're lying. You're lying. And I went over it, and I go up, and the one at the Grove has that you have to go up that escalator, that big stairs, the stairwell there. I come up the escalator. It's like a scene in a movie, like a Rain Man when you're like, oh, you're coming up. And I go up there, and I go, hey, I found this in the parking lot. I just want to return it. And they go, great. What slice do you want? And it was real. And it was real. And I got to choose. I chose some cheesecake. I went back to my office and just ate that by myself. It was the greatest moment of my life.
Did you doubt? Did you think that your leg was being pulled? That you were involved in a cheesecake prank?
like what are you talking? Like, first of all, like, how many people are losing these? And then does Cheesecake Factory feel as though they have to institute a policy? Look, company-wide, if someone returns these things that we can't ever make again, these electronic beeper devices, you have to reward that good Samaritan with a cheesecake? Like, it just seems so hyper-specific.
Yeah, I mean, that's dangerous knowledge to have loose, because you could easily create a scam where, you know, you rotate with friends, losing them, especially at the Grove. It's like, I was just looking at the fountain and whoops, well, where did it go? And then you have a friend pick it up and it's a cheesecake scam.
Yep.
Right there.
Yeah, you know, it's like crypto, streaming, I don't know, switching to video. It's all a little scam. We'll work it out. Yeah, it was the greatest time of my life. Anyways, Joseph, have you had not just cheesecake, Joseph? Obviously, you've had that, but like one of these highfalutin, high concept cheesecakes that Jen's talking about.
No, I am sad to say I'm haunted by cheesecake. Those are two great words. I want to like everything with cheese in it because cheese is the greatest food. I had a hard time not just putting cheese as dessert. So I want to like cheesecake. I know it's not cheese, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just a little, I don't know what it is. I think it's a little bit of the texture. Also the flavor it's not for me. And I want it to be, I keep trying.
Right.
But yeah. Snickers is my favorite candy bar other than the Pigs and Tater. So maybe I need to try it, covered in Snickers. When you say that it's Snickers on top, do you mean like three fully wrapped bars? Do you mean bits of Snickers? What's on top of it?
Chunks. They're like some chunks, like two or three. And then the whipped cream. And really it's about, as Top Chef, you got to have the whole, every layer in one bite to really appreciate how delicious this cheesecake is. Oh my gosh, now I want it. Yeah. I got to go to Cheesecake Factory.
It's been a few years. They got that novel as a menu. A lot of choices in life.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I got to, you're inspiring me to try again. Okay, so we're talking about all the toppings and everything. Just a slice of vanilla cheesecake, but straightforward cheesecake. Jen, what is the appeal for you in the flavor of the cheesecake itself? I want to learn.
It's for me, it's about the combo. So the cheesecake itself is all right. Okay. I do, but in that form, in the Snickers cheesecake form, it's all about the combination of flavors.
Okay.
The tartness of the cheesecake combined with the really saccharine sweet of the Snickers, right? And then the caramel, which kind of has a saltiness to it as well, which really blends it all together.
Well, maybe that's my problem, is I've just been having basic cheesecake all these years. I need to get fancy.
Get fancy.
Fancy it up.
Right.
Love that. Well, that's a great number two choice, Jen. Joseph, we're on to your number two favorite dessert.
My number two, jumping back into the yogurt arena, I put just soft serve ice cream in general. Some specifics there.
Yes.
But like, I like all sorts of ice cream. I like the hard ice cream. We got a bunch of different ice cream in our freezer. But going to a Dairy Queen or any other place that makes soft serve ice cream, so it's all twirled up, and putting it in, ideally, a waffle cone.
Ooh.
Is perfection. Soft serve ice cream in a waffle cone, because
I like your stuff.
First, I love the idea that you eat the box, that you eat the container. Still remember as a child being like, what? I eat this? This is like, I don't eat the box, the Kraft macaroni and cheese, but I eat the cone. All right. Waffle cones are delicious by themselves. I would just eat a waffle cone. Waffle cone usually has like a high enough collar. You know, they're like they're like the vampire capes of cones that they will catch a little bit better as it melts, and you can have a little moat in there, and you're still safe. But even if you can't get a waffle cone, if you're dealing with just like a straight up classic Dairy Queen cone, the pile of ice cream. It is the childhood memories, but it is also just the challenge. Like so many things in life tell you to like slow down and be responsible. And soft serve ice cream in a cone is like permission to eat it as fast as you bleeping can.
Yes. 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 Mm-hmm. This is a big answer. I was feeling guilty for not representing ice cream on my list. I'm glad you did this, because this is, I love like a Ben and Jerry's or anything. I love in my hometown, there was a place called Bernardo's that turned into Doc Bernstein's, which is now gone. Had some great made right there ice cream. Loved it. But there's something going to a Frosty Freeze going to a Dairy Queen, an A&W root beer, which a root beer float's great too, but just getting soft serve in a cone. And I love your strategy for the vampire necked waffle cones. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What about a dipped cone? Do you like the dipped?
I was going to bring this up, but it's almost too painful.
Oh, no.
I love the dipped cone, particularly at Dairy Queen. I loved the cherry dip cone.
Yeah.
And they discontinued the cherry dip cone.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I always loved the cherry dip cone, but my brother, when he was a teen, saved up money, I think, for prom, and then ended up buying a VCR player by working at Dairy Queen. And no one would say dipped. They would come in and say, I want the cone dipped in the red bleep. And use a swear word. So every time I would go to Dairy Queen, it's like, I want the ice cream cone dipped in the red bleep.
The red bleep.
It was so good. The way it broke apart and the ice cream revealed itself. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll get back to trying a dip cone, but I have to process the pain of losing the cherry dip cone from Dairy Queen.
I love a dip cone. I wish I'd had that cherry red bleep dip cone. Sounds amazing. I worry, you mentioned it, it's part of the joy is, and Trey T and Chat's talking about magic shelf ice cream. But when you're the first knight to, you know, go through the breach and you crack through that chocolate cover, I think chaos ensues. Your approach to eating, I'm already a messy eater. The chocolate starts to melt, but in chunks. So some of it's on your cheek and you can't. If I'm home, maybe I'll do it. But for a dignified public appearance, I can only do the cone itself.
JJ Hawkins' mask or the red bleep. Yeah, I mean you're dancing with danger there too. Mm-hmm. You break it hard enough, you can get some shards. You can cut yourself.
A lot of shards.
Nothing to be messed with a dip cone.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Unexpected.
There was. We're trying to always speak carefully here. There was at a larger mouse based theme park. And actually the one next to it that had a California theme, there was a soft serve stand there, but it had flavors swirled through the middle of it. And so it looked like orange, but it was I don't know how they did it, but it was like a line. So it was like a visually appealing kind of looking thing. And that was one of my favorites. And I think that's gone now. I haven't been there in a while, but
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Love that.
Gorgeous. Mm.
That's a great choice. All right. We're up to my number two choice here, my favorite desserts. And it is, it's regional. And by regional, I mean to my house. My number two choice for favorite desserts are squishy snacks. This is a house term for a collection of bagged treats that actually I'll be getting today because Grace wants to start the weekend in a right way. Sweet tart fusions, Swedish fish, Nerds gummy clusters, peach rings, maybe some Sour Patch Kids watermelon, peach, or blueberry, and we get them all, and then we put them all into bowls, and you just got a bevy of squishy snacks that we can sit and watch TV with, and I down those things in a record time, and I just absolutely love them, and it's become our dessert of choice in the house. It's just a casual but yet comforting dessert for the hardworking folks. Of the world.
A grazing dessert.
Love that.
A grazing dessert.
Now, I have some questions. Is this like fruity gummy Chex Mix where you just you grab a handful and get a little bit of everything? Or are you discerning?
I'm discerning.
Grab one specific thing.
I'm discerning. You have like my favorite of the bunch are the sweet tart fusions. Because I don't love sweet tarts as we knew them growing up. They weren't my favorite. I'm not a tart person, more of a sweet. But so I didn't want to try these, but the fusion thing was intriguing to me. So they're like a little, almost like a gumball, and you like filled donuts like I do. You bite into them, and there's a tasty fusion goo of flavors. And it's just the most rewarding little gummy snack. And so we both, that's kind of our favorites. And so you can see either you start off, you reach for three of them, but then you save the rest for the end of the bowl, you know, and you kind of work your way around. Occasionally you mix like a peach ring and a Swedish fish. Maybe.
I bet visually it looks really pleasing with all these rainbow colors.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, the satisfying sound when you kind of pour some into the bowl. There's like a tink, 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 and a thud, 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 and it's just beautiful.
Is there any plap, plap, plap? Because some of them can be kind of super wet and soft.
There's some super wet and soft choices. The peach rings in particular there. And
bears? Are there gummy bears?
We'll go for gummy bears. We like, there's a vegan gummy bear we like. But I got to tell you right now, it's what I can find at the aisle at Target or even sometimes, everyone knows I go to 7-Eleven, but they, and then what's frustrating is sometimes there's been some nights where it's like tonight, we're definitely going to get squishy snacks where I have to hit like three stores because they're not all in the same spot. So you'll go to like a Ralph's, you got to go to CVS or a Target and then like, well, screw it. The peach rings. I'm going to go to 7-Eleven and it's a journey.
Makes the reward that much sweeter.
Yeah. And apparently, Dan, the food in my beard says, this is a trendy food blogger thing now called candy salad. You may, wait, I could be a candy influencer if I film this.
Yeah, you should make a video. I would call it unicorn chow. Like how they have the puppy chow, which is the chocolate covered Chex Mix. This could be unicorn chow. Maybe chow, figure out the different thing.
I love
unicorn
it.
Treats. I would call it soft rainbow.
Rainbow.
Oh, this is amazing. Well, we're having a lot of fun. We're not quite done yet. We're up to our number one choices here for our favorite desserts, and I'll go first. And well, it's a repeat. We definitely didn't coordinate our list, which was great because we're going to go follow our hearts here. And my number one choice is cherry cheesecake. ... at the Hollywood Improv. But it is going. I was fascinated in where you were taking that conversation, Joseph, because as much as I do love what Jen's talking about, the high concept cheesecakes, there's something I like about a simple, direct, blue collar cheesecake. Heavy on the cheesecake, enough cherry, enough sauce drizzled around that plate, you know, plated well so that I can take a bite, swirl it around, control the amount of cherry on it. With a light crust and not a dominant crust. Because I used to love pies, but a lot of people just, they go crust heavy on the pies. And I just want the goo. So I didn't grow up loving cheesecakes. It was not my favorite thing. I also was afraid. I didn't understand what it was. Like, you're telling me you're taking that cheese I like on my tacos and you're putting it in a cake form? I'm out. And I didn't like it. But over the years, and then when I was first doing comedy in the mid-2000s, go to the Hollywood Improv, and it just became this weird pre-show or occasionally post-show thing. I get a captain and diet and a cherry cheesecake. And the bartender, this old wonderfully crusty guy named Eddie, would kind of tease me, but he was a Yankee fan. I was a Yankee fan. We talked baseball, and he was a real sweet guy. And I stopped kind of doing comedy there, and I still don't go back regularly, but I recently went there with a couple pals. And I walked in and I asked Mark Ellis, I go, hey, is Eddie still here? He goes, oh yeah, Eddie's still here. And I walk in and I go, hey, Eddie. I go, hey, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, cheesecake. Yeah, I do. And I just I was so happy that cheesecake and me would be forever associated in this man's mind. It was just a comfort.
This is, that's wonderful. I understand where you're going to describe it as blue collar.
Yeah,
I don't want to cast any aspersions on Jennifer's ivory tower Snickers cheesecake.
Jen's got the one
than us up there in her curtained booth, away from the little people, the hard workers.
She's got a 1% cheesecake.
That deluxe.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
That's hilarious. So I was distracted. The cherry. Is the cherry just slathered on top of the cheesecake?
In the back corner. And you bring up a great point. Like, I want most of the cake exposed. I want most of the cheese there because I like to manage it. I do like, if given that I'll have filling, I'll have the goo. That's what I want, more of that. But with the cheesecake, it forces me, a fast eater, to slow down and savor it more. I have to construct the bite. So it's a slice down with the fork and then a dip and a swirl. And it forces me, and that's what I liked about it. And it was part of a pre-show ritual to get me to calm the F down before a show, especially a bigger show at the Hollywood Improv, where it was just like, I'm in a corner. Yeah, I'm having a little drink too, but also just like, I'm not rushing through sliders or French fries or anything like that. I'm like, I got a cheesecake. It's sweet. I love sweet. I love what I'm experiencing, but I have to slow down for this. And I think that was part of the appeal.
You're describing exercise, a dance routine, a cut, a dip, a swirl.
Thing of beauty. It's a thing of beauty. So anyways, that's my number one choice, Cherry Cheesecake at the Hollywood Improv. But yes. We're now on to Joseph. Let's go to your number one choice. Take us home. You've had a wonderful list all over the map of in a great way of the dessert landscape here. So where are you going?
Yeah, there's been a lot of meat. There's been a lot of fruit. There's been a lot of memories. but my number one is actually a little bit connected to yours because they share the cherry in common. By far, with no doubt, when we decided we're going to do this topic, it's like, well, my number one is cherry pie. I love fruity desserts at times where I've kind of lost a little bit of a sweet tooth. The cherry pie was a magnet. Some of it is a little bit the connection to that show that happens in the Pacific Northwest. I won't lie that is a part of what made me go, ooh, I really like that. But anytime I can get a cherry Danish, I got to go to Carmel now. That's great.
Yep.
But a really well-made cherry pie. Almost any cherry pie is good. Like the fakest you can, chemicals, there's a toxic sticker on top of it. It's still good. Still cherry pie. But when you have a truly beautiful, either actually homemade or taste it homemade, my favorite cherry pie I've had, and get to specifics, is here in Los Angeles at Dupar's. I was trying to I was trying to come up with the way to describe the flavor, and it's sad that this is the way I have to do it, but it's true. It just tastes so real. So many desserts you have, you enjoy the indulgence of like, what chemical they were actually trying to make engine oil for planes in World War II, but they invented this ice cream, you know, they taste like that and that's delicious. And that's good. Mm. But the fresh cherry, no corners cut in the baking of the crust. The crust is delicious by itself. So it's not just something you have to endure. It is a friend to the cherries. It's absolute explosion. And then the other part of it is the genesis of that show that happens in Pacific Northwest. The first meetings between the creators were at Dupar's. In some ways, that is the cherry pie that, inspired the discussion.
Do you know which one?
And it also is a heartbreaker. It's the one that's now a Sephora.
What?
Because I used to write sketches at that one. It was a great Dupar's. The bathroom was haunted, and maybe a mob hit was waiting to happen there from the 20s.
It was up the stairs, right?
Yes. God,
yep,
it was great.
Yep. Yeah. It was great because we went there right before it closed, and like right before the closed, where I ordered a cherry pie, and the waitress was like, I think we sold out of these. And like, can you check? And she's like, all right, honey, I'll check. And she's like, we got three pieces left. So I also expected it to be just like ancient cherry pie from 1982. And it was so fresh and delicious. My dad was going to come visit LA. He had to change some of his plans. And one of the things I was going to do is take him to the Dupar's in the Farmer's Grove and have that cherry pie. And when my dad told me he needed to postpone his trip, the first thing I thought of was like, but I was going to eat that cherry pie at Dupar's. So now I got to find a reason to go.
That's beautiful. Share a lot of memories in that wonderful, decrepit Dupar's, but it was beautiful and how decrepit it was. It was a sight. But I love this. And you're speaking in a way that I can get behind. I could vote for you on your stance on cherry pie. I come to a pie for the filling, for what's inside. Mm-hmm. Boston cream, blueberry, apple, cherry. I prefer cherry over all those as well. I'm not here for the crust. I'm not a scone person like Jen Landa over there with her 1% cheesecake. I don't want a flake. I don't care how sweet and savory and flaky the crust is. Give me just enough to hold the main event, which is the filling.
Yeah. Just present me the fruit. That's all. Fruit.
Jen, hot takes on cherry pie.
I don't like it. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
But you know what? I need to go to Dupar's and have it because it sounds delicious. And I do love most pies, especially if they're served with ice cream. So I'm willing to try. Where was the Dupar's that you guys are talking about that closed down?
Ventura and Laurel Canyon. Yeah, Ventura and Laurel Canyon. It's a It's a very nice Sephora.
Yes, yes.
Big Sephora.
Oh, man, what a bummer. And really, it is about like the memories attached to all of these desserts, yep. right? That's what mm-hmm. makes them so much more enjoyable and for us a ritual.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and now I'm going to go to the Cheesecake Factory. We can swap.
We can swap. Exactly. We'll go to the Grove. That's the follow-up. You go to Cheesecake. I'll go to DuParse.
That's and I'll go to Bob's Donuts and get a lemon Bismarck.
This sounds just beautiful and also agonizing. I can't wait. Yeah,
we'll do a vlog. Jen, teach us how to do a vlog. We'll do a vlog.
Okay.
This is it, though. We've reached our final spot, our number one choice. Jennifer Landa with her highfalutin cheesecake, her high concept cheesecake, is going to take us home here with her number one choice for her favorite dessert. Jen, what do you have?
I am choosing ice cream, right? We've already been talking about this. Now, when it comes to ice cream, I don't like highfalutin ice cream. Yeah. The lavender, the sea salt. No, it's just give me a basic mint chip.
Yeah.
I love from Baskin-Robbins Gold Medal Ribbon, which has caramel swirled in it. And it's really, ice cream has been my mainstay since I was a kid. It's the thing that my parents would allow me to occasionally have. And it might be soft serve. It might be, you know, Cold Stone Creamery, which is when I will get a waffle cone because normally I don't like waffle cones. Mm-hmm. But with Cold Stone, because they're folding all those toppings into it, you have to have a big vessel.
Yeah.
To be able to enjoy it. So I love a sundae. I can't eat bananas. It's really strange. I don't know. My body can't handle it. But I love a banana split. There's a place in Pasadena that has amazing banana splits. You can't go wrong with ice cream, right? There really is no bad ice cream.
It's kind of the best way to take it home. We've all shared some ice cream memories. The spoilers were along the way. If someone did a speculation video, Jen's adding ice cream to any treat she had here. So, this is wonderful. And I have some follow-up questions here, too. I'm with you. It seems like you like a good blue-collar ice cream.
I do.
Lavender rose. I'll have a lavender rose ice cream, too, by the way. Mint chip. I'm a sucker for... Like thrifty Rite Aid ice cream going there.
Best.
Yeah, getting a pint of that. Cookies and cream, mint chip, chocolate chip. Mm-hmm. I do like a good caramel swirl. But you mentioned Cold Stone. I used to go there a lot. I don't even know if they're still around. I don't even know. But like I would, a Nestle Crunch bar, brownie and vanilla. And I would just, that would be my go-to there all the time. Oh,
there you go. I think it was the founder's favorite that I used to get there with brownies, strawberry ice cream, chocolate fudge, you know, that they would just swirl into it. Amazing. Mm.
Does the West Coast have Old Country Buffet?
No.
Do you have Old Country Buffet?
No.
I don't think so.
We have Hometown.
Hometown Buffet. Yeah.
It's probably the same thing. It briefly took at least the Minneapolis St. Paul area by storm. It was a massive food poisoning opportunity. It was a huge, huge buffet. But one of the things they had before I had it anywhere else is the ice cream machine where you can pump the soft serve yourself.
Mm.
And I wanted to be sure to ask you about that, Jennifer. Do you have a pride in, does it make the ice cream better, taste better to pump it yourself?
I used to love that as a kid, like Soup Plantation. Go get at the end
Sizzler,
of the meal,
Sizzler's
right?
got that, yeah.
Yeah. Sizzler, right. So I think that when I do, like if I go to Yogurtland now, I do pile on like chocolate chips and things like that. So I do like a crunch in my ice cream now as I've gotten older.
And wiser.
Underrated ice cream flavor, Jen. Kind of a thrifty staple. Chocolate malted crunch. Your thoughts?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I forgot my beloved Cherry Garcia.
Yeah.
There was a couple years where I actually would have Cherry Garcia before I went to bed every night. No, I could never do that now. And I'm mildly lactose intolerant. Maybe that's why, because I had ice cream every night for years.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was in my 20s.
I used to have Lucky Charms for dinner and a pint of Ben and Jerry's for dessert. It was a great time, the early 2000s. Love it. This is a great choice, Joseph. You being from a colder neck of the woods, how much does ice cream factor into your life out there? Is it a good, I know it gets hot in the summers. I know that.
I'm sure plenty of people have ice cream in the winter, and I had ice cream in the winter sometimes, but Dairy Queens were open seasonally.
What?
Yeah, and it was a big deal when they became like, we have burgers now, so some of us stay open, but like, it only enhanced how beautiful and wonderful it was because you were looking out there at that snow that kind of looked like ice cream, and like, melt, damn you, so I can eat the real ice cream.
Wow.
Well, there you go. On that memory, on these shares, it's a beautiful way to take us home. A lot of people in chat are getting hungry, and I am as well. I've got some squishy snacks to get. This has been a lot of fun. Recording this live for our Patreon supporters who made this possible. Thanks to your support. So any final thoughts on desserts, Joseph, Jennifer? We'll get home after this.
Yeah, it's been wonderful to continue to discover things about one another because lots of stuff has come up over the years as we've talked about that galaxy, but strong feelings about cheesecake never popped up in our discussions of the other galaxy. So I'm extremely happy to get to know one another.
This truly has been the most debate on this podcast feed. Scones, cheesecake, ice cream. Really.
Right. And what I love is that you guys are reminding me or like exposing me to different things that I've never tried. Because as I've said, I'm a creature of comfort. So it's been fun, whether it's music or now cherry pie. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
And hey, I think it's great that you, the biggest Grateful Dead head we have around here, would enjoy some Cherry Garcia at the end of the evening.
That's right.
We're out of here today, folks. Thanks for listening to Life Ranked. To let you know where we're on. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Hive if you're over there. Threads as well, Force Center Pod. We'll maybe get the Blue Sky. That's one more, but we'll get there eventually. Instagram as well. If you're here on the YouTube channel, if you're like Addy who says, loving these other Center Ranks, thanks, guys. Thank you, Addy. Give us a subscription, a little hit on that button there. Hit the notification bell. More live shows, more things coming your way. And yeah, eventually when we get back to that other galaxy, we got some cool content coming on this YouTube channel as well. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available. Just search. You'll find us. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/4center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/4center. Follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. I can't confirm I'll be in New York for around New York Comic Con. I won't be at New York Comic Con, but I'll be performing comedy with Mark Ellis at the New York Comedy Club in the East Village that weekend. So look for more information on my website. Jen, where can they find you and maybe send you some recipes for cheesecakes?
I'd love that. You can follow me or find me on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138 or all the social media platforms at Jennifer Landa, where I'm posting lots of things going down memory lane from mochi cheese to sticker books. Join me and thank you all for joining us here.
Love that. Joseph, take us home. We got another great comment from Annie here. What do we got? Where can we find you?
Yeah, Annie just had a good comment that sort of summed up, I think, how we're all feeling as we wrap up this episode. We'll definitely get donuts tomorrow and cheesecake, also ice cream. That is my plan next. Maybe I'll post about it on social media. You can find me at Joseph Scrimshaw on all the social media. Blue Sky in particular. I would love to get some more friends on Blue Sky and in Instagram, the ones that I find fun right now. My short film, The Nightmare Adorable, which many people did amazing work on, including Ken Napsok, is beginning its festival run. It will be at the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival in Portland, Oregon, October 6th through the 8th. It's also been accepted at two other film festivals that are happening in October. I'm waiting for a couple of other details before I announce the when and the where, but look for those if you are interested.
Look for those indeed, my friends. All right, that is it. We'll see you next time. Life has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.